Welcome, everyone, to the final episode of Current Thoughts for 2025. As 2025 comes to an end, it's the perfect opportunity to look back and reflect on a year that felt both fast and heavy, while also trying to have a positive outlook for the next year.
This is what that episode is all about. During this episode, we are going to share each of our top five good things for 2025, our bad things for 2025, and remembering the people we lost in 2025. And we're also going to share our three predictions for each of us in 2026.
All right, so let's start off first with the top five bad things for each of us. And we'll go one by one if that works. So I'll go first. For me, DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. In theory, making the government more efficient sounds good, but the way Elon Musk and his team went about it was reckless. And in the end, it caused more harm than good.
For me, it was the California wildfires due to strong Santa Ana winds and climate change. It was pretty catastrophic.
Yeah, we're both from Southern California, and that was something that definitely we had never seen devastation like that from a wildfire.
Right. We both have family that lived down in Southern California as well, and friends. So it hit close to home.
So my second one was the war between Ukraine and Russia continued. And rather than continue supporting Ukraine, the new administration pulled its support, leaving Ukraine only to rely on the European Union against Russia.
My second one is the healthcare frustrations. We had soaring costs, premiums, drugs, the fragile coverage, persistent workforce shortages, and clinical burnout, Medicaid redeterminations, and potential expiration of advanced ACA subsidies threatened coverage for millions, and it was just difficult to get an appointment for a doctor.
So my third is the Republican passage of Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. Now, unless you're a millionaire or a billionaire, this bill hurts you more than it helped you. It made it harder for either Medicare or Medicaid. I'm not sure exactly which one it was, but anybody that was on those, it made it harder by requiring applicants to file more frequently. It also ended the Affordable Care Act medical subsidies for millions of Americans, all while giving tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires who didn't really need it.
My third one is subscription fatigue. We were all overwhelmed with too many reoccurring charges, streaming, apps, software, and it just led us to increase our cancellations and demand more value. We were all just very frustrated with all of the subscriptions we've had to endure.
So for me, my fourth one is, it's a pretty big one. It's the abuse of powers by President Donald Trump. And when I say abuse of powers, let me give you some examples. So he dismantled the federal agencies, such as the Department of Education. He issued executive orders specifically targeting organizations and law firms associated with past investigations into Trump or those representing political opponents. He also had the expansion of tariff authority. This is something that typically is Congress is actually responsible for tariffs, but by invoking an emergency powers to impose global tariffs, this is how he was able to circumvent the legislative branch. And then we had immigration enforcement. The administration issued executive orders to expand the use of military and federal assets for mass deportations. He allowed for warrantless surveillance on Americans and foreign nationals, allowed mass deportations without due process. He was supposed to just target violent criminals, and instead, they added daily quotas to immigration, and that ended up casting a wide net for deportations. On top of all that, these federal ICE agents, were covering their faces, snagging people off the streets in unmarked vehicles, and racially profiling individuals. All of this has instilled fear in our communities and even caused citizens to be wrongly deported. Then you had the attempt to repeal birthright citizenship. If anybody's not aware what birthright citizenship is, Trump issued an executive order that directs federal agencies to deny citizenship documents, such as passports or social security numbers, to children born in the U.S. if neither parent is a citizen or a lawful permanent resident. And this is a direct violation of the 14th Amendment, which states all persons born in or naturalized in the United States are citizens. And finally, he weaponized the DOJ. Indictments were brought against former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James per the demands of Trump via social media posts. And this shows a clear evidence of vindictive prosecutions. I'm sure there was more, but those are the ones that stood out to me.
My fourth one is short and sweet, and it's the public trust in media is down. Public just does not trust the media anymore. We get so much fake news everywhere, and it's very frustrating that basically we've got to go to other sources and we can't just turn on our local channels that we've always relied on for telling us exactly what's going on.
I think when you say media, I think you're referring to like legacy media, like the
mainstream.
Yeah, the mainstream, the broadcast, the stuff that used to be actually trusted and now unfortunately is being consumed and consolidated by larger companies.
Right, and the government.
But they're also being told what they can actually report on, and politics is having an influence on what they're able to report on.
Right.
Yeah, and on top of that, obviously it doesn't help when you have a president, whether it's his first term or his current term, who is constantly attacking them, saying that
right.
that basically everything that he doesn't agree with is considered fake news.
Right.
So he's literally eroded the trust of the public in those media outlets. And on top of that, I think my fifth one is the struggle of everyday Americans. The one thing I've seen that I think affects just about everybody, unless you have a lot of money, is that inflation continues to grow, unemployment continues to grow, Trump's tariffs are causing prices to go up, whether you want to admit it or not, they are. Trump's interference with the Federal Reserve, first time, this is unprecedented, and withholding economic numbers erodes the trust in our U.S. economy. And Trump's disregard with the struggles of everyday Americans. Food price increases, cost of living increases, and healthcare affordability. We have a president that's calling it all a hoax, saying it's not happening when everyday Americans are feeling that pain.
My fifth one is something that affected us immediately was the government shutdown.
Yeah, I think that affected more than just us, obviously.
Obviously, but that's one that stands out for me because it did affect us.
And again, it was unprecedented. This was the longest government shutdown in history
right.
of the United States.
Right. All because somebody didn't get their way or wanted their way and wasn't getting it.
Right. All right. And, you know, again, these were just things that stood out to us. The five things for each of us that stood out to us. I'm sure there was many more that you could have included in that, but those are the ones that kind of stood out to us the most. So now we're going to move on to our top five good things. Get rid of all the doom and gloom. All right. So my first one was this year, I challenged myself to see if I could do a 21-day water fast. After learning about the healing benefits that your body goes through during a fast that long. Just in case I needed to do one later in life if I was ever in the need of extreme healing. And I was able to complete it, and now I understand the dangers also associated with doing something like that as well. So I could be a little more cautious next time.
For me, mental health became a major trend in innovation and accessibility with telehealth and digital therapies growing. So I think that was a plus for our country.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I wish it was included. I wish mental health was included in our healthcare, but it's mostly something you have to pay out of pocket, at least in the state we live in. Some states do have it. We just don't. I wish it was a federally mandated.
Well, and telehealth, I think, is always a good thing, especially, like you said, it's harder and harder to get an appointment in any kind of reasonable time frame.
Right. Not only the appointments, but if you're sick, who wants to be going out anywhere? It's so much easier just to say, I've got a cough, I've got, you know, sore throat, and I've got a cold. I just need some medication. So, yeah, the telehealth is definitely a positive.
My second positive thing, good thing that happened, was that Doge is no longer, and Elon Musk is no longer associated with this administration.
And my second one is a place to get your facts. This goes along with my news. And YouTube News was defined by strong user engagement, a shift toward value, quality, and originality, and YouTube's increasing role as a primary trusted platform for news consumption. And I know that's some place that we basically get most of our news from, because we can pick where we feel the person is being truthful.
Yeah, the only thing I would just caution people on, regardless of where you're getting your news from, is, especially if it's a social media platform, just be wary, because a lot of times those platforms do have algorithms. And so if you start watching one particular video or maybe interacting with a particular post or something, they feed you more of that same kind. And so it can be a little biased. So just kind of be cautious of that and be aware of that.
Right.
All right, so my third positive is the advancement of AI in 2025. So we've seen lots of advancements with different large language models such as ChatGPT, Claude, and Google Gemini throughout the year. We have not yet achieved artificial general intelligence, which is AGI. A lot of people are talking about that. But in case anybody doesn't know, it's when AI is smarter than every human in every area of intelligence. Text-to-image has advanced with Nano Banana Pro and ChatGPT images to be able to create photos with perfect text embedded in them. That's something I think we just started seeing towards the end of the year, so I think that's something that's kind of been a long time coming.
And obviously it'll get better in the years to come.
We have seen AI incorporated into our smartphones and photo and video editing software. And some cities have even started offering driverless rideshare options.
So my third one is the meaning of success has significantly shifted from traditional metrics like status and long hours. And it's being defined now by more personal, human-centered values such as well-being, purpose, and adaptability, which for me, I very much can stand by that for sure. I think people take work sometimes too seriously and they don't appreciate the small things. Life's too short.
Yeah, I wonder if that's also kind of a side effect of AI doing a lot of stuff for us, because I think maybe it's a way for our societies to start shifting their focus, because they know that maybe AI is going to start taking a lot of jobs, and this, well, we try to figure out basically what our purpose is, try to adapt to new situations with AI. And obviously, the focus maybe goes more towards our well-being and health, but just a thought. All right, so my fourth positive was our 52-day epic European trip that we took this year. We were able to experience Oktoberfest in Munich, Germany for the first time. And we were finally able to visit Venice, the Cinque Terre, and Rome, all places on our bucket list of places to visit.
Yeah, that was very epic. So my fourth is, for the first time, renewable energy, solar and wind, overtook coal as the world's leading source of electricity. I think that's going to be pretty big. I know it's being fought back and forth kind of right now, but hopefully that continues forward.
Yes, our lovely president is already starting to kill a lot of wind generated off the East Coast of the country. All right, so my fifth are people are starting to see exactly who Trump is. Even people who voted for him, MAGA people, and other Republicans in Congress are starting to push away from him. And I think this is all because of the lack of Epstein transparency that he promised, the economic turmoil that he's causing, the immigration enforcement, the way he's handling that, the loss of health care or subsidies due to his big, beautiful bill, and the tariffs or other policies that are making their lives worse.
Yeah, so my fifth is a little bit more on the fun side. So the last penny was minted this year, and now we will see how that will impact our sales at the registers. Will it be like it is in the AU in Australia? Will businesses round to the nearest nickel? I've seen that on different posts and different things that I've seen, but we'll have to see how that plays out.
Or will we finally start make that push like the European do, with basically more tap electronic payment?
Well, that too, but it's still going to take that penny and push it to the nickel because pennies don't exist. So you can't cash out a penny. So if you go to the bank and you have a check for $20.03 and you want to cash that check, they can't give you 3 cents. They're going to have to give you a nickel.
I would just assume, I guess, that they would either round up if it's 3 cents.
Right, or round down. That's what I'm assuming. That's what, like I said, that's what they do in Australia. Even in TAP in Australia, they still round it to the nearest nickel.
Mm, I didn't know that.
Yes, when we made our purchases in Australia, they rounded it to the nickel, no matter if it was TAP or not.
So unfortunately, one of the downsides of another year passing is seeing legends and influential people you grew up with pass away. So we'd like to pay a little homage to the ones that stand out to us that passed this year. So first, we're going to start with Robert Redford. He was an acclaimed actor, director, and founder of the Sundance Film Festival. He passed away of natural causes at 89. I know I remember him from movies, such movies as The Natural. That one was probably the one that was most influential of his, of mine. The Sting and All the President's Men.
Gene Hackman died in February. 2-time Oscar winner, actor. He passed away of heart disease at 95, shortly after his wife passed away. That's true love. I remember him from movies such as Hoosiers, original Superman movies. He was Lex Luthor, and Mississippi Burning.
Yeah, I kind of forget sometimes that he was Lex Luthor. He was the original Lex Luthor.
Right.
This next one is somebody that I definitely grew up with a lot. Val Kilmer. So Val Kilmer passed away in April of this year. He was an actor both of us grew up with. He passed away at 65 from pneumonia following a long battle with throat cancer. We remember him from movies such as Top Gun, Real Genius. Real Genius was probably one of my favorites. But another one is The Saint.
Rob Reiner just passed away in December. He was a legendary actor and director. He was tragically found dead at 78 alongside with his wife in his home of an apparent homicide. We knew him from his role in a controversial show, All in the Family. He directed movies such as Stand By Me, The Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, A Few Good Men. This is just to name a few.
And then there's Diane Keaton. She passed away in October. She was an Oscar-winning actress best known for her iconic role in Annie Hall. She passed away at 79 from pneumonia. And I remember her from such movies as Father of the Bride with Steve Martin. Most recently, Something's Gotta Give with Jack Nicholson. And she was also in the Godfather movies. I know you haven't seen that, but she was in the Godfather movies as Michael Corleone's wife.
Somebody else we both grew up with was Malcolm Jamal Warner. He passed away in July. He was known for his role as Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show. He tragically passed away at 54 due to an accidental drowning in Costa Rica.
Then we have a few music legends as well. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. He passed away in June. He was the co-founder and creative genius of the Beach Boys. And he passed away at 82.
Ozzy Osbourne passed away in July, the Prince of Darkness and legendary Black Sabbath frontman. He passed away at 76, 5 years after announcing his Parkinson's diagnosis.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I never really listened to his music when it was big. But I knew him obviously from the Osbournes.
So much more.
Somebody that I grew up with, I'm not sure if you did or not, but I was big into R&B, was D'Angelo, passed away in October of this year. He was an R&B innovator and musician. He passed away at 51 from pancreatic cancer. He was known for songs such as Brown Sugar and Cruisin'.
And other notable people who passed away in areas of politics, sports, and global figures were Pope Francis, Jane Goodall, Dick Cheney, Giorgio Armani, George Foreman, Bob Uecker, and Hulk Hogan.
Now, again, these are just a few. We're not going to cover all of the people that passed away, but those are the ones that stood out to us. All right, so now we're going to look forward and make some predictions. We're going to make three predictions and hopes for 2026. I went first on the first two, the good and the bad. I'm going to let you go first this time.
Mine are sweet, super short and super sweet. I'm not going too much in depth on these. My first one is more people will try AI instead of being afraid of it. There's so many people out there right now afraid of it, but I think a lot of people next year will come around.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy prediction.
You're almost forced. At some point, you're almost forced. And I know the younger generation is not shying away from it, so I think older people will definitely give it a try.
All right, so my first prediction is that there will be more advancements and use of quantum computing in 2026. And for those who have never heard of this technology, here's a simple explanation of it. I'm going to give you three different examples of it. We're going to start with superposition. Think of this as like the spinning coin trick. So if you spin a coin on a table, is it heads or tails? While it's spinning, it's a blur of both. So for example, regular computers have to wait for the coin to land to do any work. So it has to either land on heads or tails. But quantum computing can do math while the coin is spinning, while it's in a blur mode. This allows them to explore millions of possibilities at once instead of one after the other. Then you got entanglement. So this one, imagine two twins who are so connected that if one feels a tickle in China, the other twin instantly giggles in America. In quantum computing, we can entangle two qubits. If we change one, the other changes instantly, no matter how far apart they are. This helps different parts of the computer work together like a giant, super fast team. Then you have interference. Think of like noise-canceling headphones and how they work. They create anti-noise to cancel out the bad sounds, so you only hear the music. Well, quantum computers use interference to cancel out all the wrong answers to a problem to make the right answer stand out loud and clear. Now, how does all this benefit the world? Well, because these computers can see all paths at once, they will help solve things that would take regular computers a billion years to figure out. So super batteries, you're going to be designing batteries that could power your phone for a whole month, or help electric planes fly across the ocean. Doctors could create medicine specifically for your body by simulating how your cells react to it on a computer first. They're going to be able to calculate the perfect path for every car in a city at the same time, so no one's ever hits a red light. And these are just a couple of examples of what quantum computing can actually do. So just imagine that.
I don't think most people can.
Well, it's coming.
I think it's
coming. And once it starts,
It's not going to slow down, obviously.
It's only going to speed up.
Right. My second one there again is pretty straightforward. Travel will stay high, both domestic and international. 2025 was high. There was a high amount of people traveling, and I believe that that's going to stay with 2026. Maybe not into the U.S., but
right.
U.S. Americans are going to stay traveling. That is for sure.
Yeah, America. I mean, everybody's going to stay traveling. I think it's just a matter of where their destinations are going to be at.
Right.
And if they're not coming to the U.S., that just means that Europe's probably going to be even
more busy.
Correct.
Right. So choose your travel wisely.
All right. So my second prediction is that the Democrats will win the midterms and flip the House of Representatives and the Senate and Congress. And if it's not already done or they haven't stepped down voluntarily, I believe Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, and Pete Hegseth will be impeached or on their way to being impeached.
Right. My third one was the same thing. So we were on the same page with that. I said the government's going to shift.
All right. Well, then my last one is that the Epstein files will show that Donald Trump did, in fact, participate in the abuse of underage girls. For me, there's just too much coincidences in the actions of Trump's past behaviors, the way he talks about women, the way he treats women, and his friendship with Epstein, and that whole circle of people. Also, the way his administration is trying to prevent the release of the files, it's too many coincidences not to be something there. And then I think that more people will be held responsible for the abuse of the Epstein victims as well. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, it doesn't really matter. I think a lot of people want to see
the truth
and people held accountable that were involved.
Right.
So as we end 2025 and head into 2026, I want to thank my wife for agreeing to start this podcast with me. I know it hasn't always been easy, but it has been fun and provides an outlet to share our thoughts. We also want to thank all of you, our listeners.
Knowing there is an audience for our conversations means the world to us. Just maybe chime in with a little more feedback with your thoughts on the topics. Who knows? Maybe someday we will invite some of you on the show to join future conversations. So we know a lot of people have negative thoughts about 2025, but it can't all be bad. Post a comment and let us know one good thing you are taking from 2025. We wish you a happy new year. Be safe and have fun celebrating, and we'll see you in 2026. Until then, keep thinking, having conversations, and sharing your current thoughts.